Ready, set, go!
This is the Checkpoint Radio Podcast. Tune into our weekly radio show. For more information, go to checkpointradio.com. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
Hey, welcome to the Checkpoint Radio Podcast from Westwood One. Exclusive, uncensored, and extended conversations from the nationally syndicated crew of the Checkpoint Radio Show. My name's Nate Bender. I'm joined by the Checkpoint Radio crew, Robbie Landis.
What up?
Norris Howard.
Yo.
And over at the Checkpoint News Desk, Joe Sloan.
Yo.
So, we are...
Thank you, Giraffe Lady.
I don't understand what that drop even means.
He's just a giraffe lady. For Joe.
Is it because he has a long neck? Is that what
it is?
He's
very tall.
He's tall.
He is tall.
Well, doesn't Kevin also hate that drop?
I don't know.
If he does, I love it.
Well, anyway, welcome to the Checkpoint Podcast. Appreciate having you along from the Westwood One Podcast Network. Everyone's listening. So just wanted to send a quick shout out quickly before we read an iTunes review to one of our new network mates, Eric Bischoff.
All right.
I love it.
Check out 83 Weeks with Eric Bischoff on the Westwood One Podcast Network.
We have the man.
From Westwood One Podcast, everyone's listening.
We have the man who fired Chris Jericho on the same podcast network as Chris Jericho.
Yes, this is wonderful.
I love it.
There needs to be a crossover episode. But I mean, like, that's, dude, Eric
Bischoff for TNA. What is he doing?
Eric Bischoff, JR,
yeah.
And Jericho. I mean,
that's
dude,
a strong trifecta,
that's,
right?
Yeah,
there.
like we were wondering, maybe we should do a wrestling show.
So, no, I think we should do pop culture that talks about wrestling.
Yeah,
I don't want to compete with that.
I think they've got the wrestling.
Yeah.
Market cover.
I could
listen to JR talk about damn near anything.
I honestly could listen to him talk about the wheat fields in Oklahoma and be perfectly happy.
It'd be like, this is so fucking compelling. JR.
You know what? Why doesn't JR just host a Prairie Home Companion?
Oh my God.
Wow. I'd listen to it. I'd actually listen to the show. I haven't listened to that show in like 13 years, but I'd actually listen to that, right?
Yeah.
I hope he's doing okay. I know his health was bad for a while.
Yeah, me too. Me too. Anyway, thanks for joining us for the Checkpoint Radio Podcast. We're going to start off, as we always do, with an iTunes review. So, do we want to read a United States one? Do we want to read a Canadian one?
Because we don't have any more British ones?
No, we've only just got the one British one.
Let's show some love to Canada.
Yeah, let's give some more Canada love.
All right. This one coming to us from Reonimus.
Okay.
A 5-star review that says, great podcast, good discussion, and great humor. Love listening to you guys during my daily commute. Short and sweet, but straight to the point. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Reonimus.
I actually have a little treat for us as well. We got an email from a listener here that I really wanted to read here on the podcast. Says, hello, my name is Dennis, and I'm writing to let you know how much I enjoy your show. I'm an Army veteran with just over 15 years active duty under my belt with 2 combat deployments to Iraq, and I have seen and done some stuff. Now, I bring this up because I want you to know that in a world where there is so much negativity being reported on, it is comforting for me to know that there is a show like yours that at least for a few hours, I can relax, get away from everything, and listen to things that I enjoy. I don't know if what I have said makes any sense, but I just really want you to know that y'all are doing an amazing job and to keep doing what you're doing. By the way, I love the Infinity War review.
Another victory for America.
That's right.
Dennis, thank you so much for that review.
Thank you for your service.
Yes, absolutely. What you said makes absolute sense. It makes probably the most sense of anything that I've listened to over this past week, and that includes even my own show. So
my feels, though.
Yeah, I know. Seriously. You never expect putting, you know, something like this out into the world that, you know, it affects people so positively. We've been doing this, you know, podcasts in various forms for 12 years now.
Oh my god,
this marks 12 years. So, you know,
we're old.
We obviously get a lot of very, you know, positive and negative feedback.
We get our share of negative feedback.
Sure,
you can say that. Yeah,
absolutely. But to know that, you know, someone is really affected on that level by just this little show that we record in my second bedroom every week where we, you know,
we deal with people boomboxing outside.
We got people boomboxing outside. God, I hope that didn't make it to the show. I hope people didn't end up hearing it. We ended up having to wait like an hour and a half for the sun to go down and for them to decide, we should probably go inside.
There's a bunch of cushions and pillows like stacked up against the window to try to soundproof it.
We tried.
Yeah, we did everything that we could. Rick and Kevin, I'm sure that they're going to yell at me. We could clearly hear Prince playing in the background, but you know,
we just thought you'd enjoy the soundtrack.
Well, what can we do? What can we do?
Can y'all imagine like 80s Kevin like sitting back listening to some Prince, like, you know what I'm saying, kicking back listening to Prince and the Revolution with his little outfit on?
I bet Kevin was an 80s, like an 80s jock bully. In high school,
you see Kevin like, as an 80s jock bully. You see him as like a Flash Gordon type
with like a popped collar, like the pink shirt and a popped collar.
A Biff.
Yeah. Biff Tannen.
He's got the
inexplicable sweater wrapped around his shoulders and tied at the neck.
Oh my God. I can totally see that.
You guys ever see that that episode of The Amazing World of Gumball?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Where they've got these two 80s jock bullies that will not leave them alone.
No, that's incredible.
Oh my God, you need to track that episode down watch it, because it is hysterical.
That sounds hilarious.
But that's what I'm picturing in my head right now.
I'm so happy. I love cartoons. We're going to talk about cartoons on one of these shows.
We very nearly ended up talking about like cartoons 90s today, cartoons and just cartoons in general today. But instead, what are we talking about, Robbie?
That's right. So, you know, we mentioned on the show, and I'm sure a lot of people have heard by now, but Boss Key Productions, which was the studio that was headed by Cliff Bleszinski.
Oh, wait. Hang on. I know what will make this perfect.
Oh, boy.
There we go.
So, Boss Key Productions.
Ooh, LA just won, boy. Sorry.
I'm cool to go now?
Yeah,
okay.
Go now.
Boss Key Productions, which was the studio headed by Cliff Bleszinski, who, you know, is most well known for the Gears of War series, has announced that they are closing their doors after the, unfortunately, failure that was Lawbreakers, and Radical Heights probably isn't going to do anything either. Yeah. And, you know, just yesterday, on Twitter, he basically started throwing out a bunch of these ideas that they had, but, you know, were rejected by studios, or they couldn't quite get off the ground,
uh-oh,
honestly.
But I'm gonna say this, okay? You know, yeah, we're lighthearted and stuff, but you know, it sucks when you hear about any studio closing.
Now I gotta get rid of the music, man, because it's not fun to have Dragon Sound
playing
behind you when you're talking about people losing their jobs. Thanks, way to be a buzzkill, Norris.
I'm sorry, but we gotta show love to the people that actually worked very hard.
No, you're right. You're right. And honestly, last year at E3, we did get to visit the Lawbreakers booth, and we're treated to an interview by Boss Key Productions or Studios.
Productions.
They were very, very nice to us.
And seeing how Cliff's been handling it too, like on social media and through his Twitter, like, it's given me a whole new respect for the guy as well.
Yeah, no, I have a ton of respect for Cliff, and he's got a really good sense of humor.
I don't know if we will after we hear these ideas, though.
Oh, I don't know. Some of these ideas, I'm pretty.
We just have to preface the conversation by saying that because let's hear the ideas.
So this first idea, I'm actually super bummed about, because this would have been amazing. It was a game that would have been called Dragonflies, which Cliff describes as a ninja samurai in airships riding dragons, fighting zombies with friends in a PvE feudal punk setting on floating islands.
Stop.
Guys, that is stupid.
Okay, what's so stupid?
It's amazing. You find eggs with your dragons in them. Like, there's multiple types, like medium ones and quick ones and tank ones, and you would hatch and then like raise your dragons, and you have like a fleet of them that you would go and then battle people with. How does that not sound amazing?
Here's what Cliff Bleszinski did. He took gaming buzzwords, cut them up into little magnets, and then
threw them on his fridge.
No, and then shat them onto his fridge, because there is no way. Like, that is just word salad of buzzwords.
Cliffy, I'm sorry. Can you read that once more?
I would have played the shit out of this game. Of course. Okay, so Dragonflies, a ninja samurai in airships riding dragons, fighting zombies with friends in a player versus enemy feudal punk setting on floating islands.
One, what the fuck is feudal punk. Second of all,
well, like literally, I'm hearing like with friends. He was playing Words with Friends, and he was playing Plants vs. Zombies, and he was playing like I don't know Neo, and like it's just like it was like, literally like one thing from
but
every
no,
popular
it, it
game.
Sounds like what is Onimusha meets Panzer Dragoon, and basically that's what he thought of.
If you go and look up these, by the way, he also posts like a bunch of the like development and like art and stuff. Concept
oh, God.
Art. These baby dragons are so cute. He also mentioned how he wanted. He, like,
that's
he,
the microtransactions.
He envisioned there being a companion app with it, so you could like hang out and like pet your dragons when you're not actually playing.
You know what that says to me? Microtransactions. Oh, that's okay. What that says to me.
Oh yeah. Well, if Radical Heights was any indication of microtransactions, they were definitely running down that road.
Exactly.
Man, ugh. You guys don't know how to have fun.
That sounds ridiculous. First
None
of all,
that sounds good.
Yeah, like
and ridiculous I like can be fun. I like ninjas and samurais. I don't necessarily want them to ride in a feudal punk setting, whatever that might be.
Well, maybe they could have introduced a time traveling setting, so
hot
you could
air
go
balloons.
To, so you could go to like Victoria punk settings as well.
Jesus.
Samurais in Victorian England.
Yeah. Time travel, Norris.
This is
on your dragon.
This is stupid.
All right. Maybe this next one.
It's patently ridiculous.
The worst Onimusha thought of that.
You know what?
Already,
I want you guys to remember this because as we get to these other ideas, I want you to know we could be riding flying dragons.
Hang on. I'm very curious what the exact combination of drugs you need to take is to come up with something like that. I'm asking for a friend.
All right. Well, fine. Fine. You know what? Dragonflies isn't your guys' speed. That was a good one.
That's good.
Maybe
yeah.
This is going to be more up your alleys. This game is called Donuts.
No, nope, it's already not up my alley. No.
Heath describes it
Hang
as
on.
Mario
Hang
Kart.
On.
What?
What? Hang
what?
On. Stop. Donuts.
With an exclamation point.
Is it spelled with a Z also?
No.
Is it
D-O-N-U-T or D-O-U-G-H-N-U-T?
I think that's an S. It's N-U-T.
Okay.
Donuts.
Yeah. Donuts.
Donuts.
Which he describes
nuts.
As Mario Kart on water with animals in VR.
Stop! No!
Wait, so hold on. There's a picture of like, there's like,
so
there's like
Diddy Kong Racing.
Said, that game exists already. It's Diddy Kong Racing.
Yes.
And by the way, the ones on the little hover things were the worst maps.
Yeah.
No one wants that game.
The hovercraft. The hovercraft.
That thing
tracks.
Was awful. It was all about terrible. The flying ones.
The plane ones, yes.
I think this concept art stole the rabbit from Zootopia as one of their characters.
I was looking at that as well.
Please.
Yeah, so basically you're just like racing around in rapids, like in giant inner tubes.
Was he trying to corner the furry market?
I mean, maybe, but the best part is he mentions that he recalls like wanting to be able to like go to like PAX or E3 and like see people in this VR setup on like giant inner tubes like steering around.
Oh, come on, Cliff. You can't be that naive.
Cliff,
you can't be that naive.
Cliff, come on, man.
That is terrible.
Come on, man.
So we're to believe that he shopped this around to the video game industry and no one wanted to buy this clearly genius million-dollar idea?
He didn't mention who he shopped this one around to.
How many studios did he get laughed out of?
Well, for Dragonfly specifically, he mentioned shipping it to Microsoft, 2K, Sony, EA. There was a few other ones, too, but it was quite an impressive
list. I can't believe EA didn't bite on that. Or at least Microsoft.
Microsoft for me.
Well, you know,
Microsoft
donuts,
will publish anything.
I can totally see Microsoft publishing.
The
donuts.
Problem is that wasn't it Microsoft that got burnt on Beats by Dragon?
Yes, that was them, I believe.
Oh my God.
Yeah, so I think Microsoft was probably like, if you'd have came to us a bit ago.
What was the actual name?
Scales?
Scales?
Was it?
I think that sounds right. That, like, Dragon Scales or just Scales,
and
something like
actually,
that.
Actually, you know what my headcanon is? My headcanon is they saw that and they're like, no, it's not going to work, Cliffy. And then they went back and they're like, what can we do with this
idea? What can we do with this?
Exactly. And that's how they came up with Scalebound. I think that's what
it was. Scalebound. Yeah, that was it.
So, okay.
What a by the way, just another terrible concept
for
a game.
What do you have against dragons?
When you combine them with, like...
You love music!
With, like, Gen Z assholes, I am not interested in that in the least.
So if they would have put it in more of, like, a punk environment, would you have been cool with it?
No.
A feudal punk environment!
No. Feudal punk obviously doesn't work. Let's go with Jurassic punk.
Easily the best of the sequels to the movies.
Oh my god.
Oh my god.
Still has Chris Pratt in it too.
Yes, that's the only way to do it.
Now he's just a punker.
Oh, I'd watch the heck out of that.
There is some movie that's coming out that's like
it's called Fallen Kingdom. It's ass.
Like a punk rock kid meets an alien that looks like a woman.
No.
Yeah, it actually looks kind of fucking awesome.
What?
Yeah.
I have no idea what that is.
How does that level of ridiculous okay with you?
Stop. Did Nate just say, like, oh, yeah, I'm getting ready to go see this punk sci-fi rom-com?
I don't know what it is. I just saw a preview for it, and it looked
like a rom-com.
All right. Okay, you know what? I think
that was some shit Cliffy B came up with when he was in his basement and shit. Oh, yeah, let's actually do a alien sci-fi rom-com, a punk rom-com with dragons and floating islands.
I think that was called Earth Girls Are Easy.
Ooh, oh, yeah.
Got my dumb ass.
Jim Carrey was in it. It was a pretty good movie.
All right, you know, I think this next one's right up your alley, because this is basically Metal Gear Solid right here, all right? So this one... What?
Okay, now you've piqued my curiosity.
What are you two laughing at?
Just because we've heard the first two games and we know.
Let's hear it.
All right. Okay, it's called Dog Walker.
Wait.
You don't even know what it is. Stop laughing.
Dog.
I'm trying not to laugh.
Dog Walker.
Yeah, right now, you cannot shit on the name dogs. Because it is one word away from basically being Peace Walker, okay?
Come on, buddy.
Peace Walker.
Well,
but Peace Walker, I don't like if
Peace Walker had big robots in it.
Peace Walker was, I will admit, a little bit of word salad, but Dog Walker elicits like a dog walking simulation.
Yeah, I picture Nintendogs. Yeah.
Okay, well, that's not what it is. This is a multiplayer VR mech shooter where players would each man different parts of a giant fighting vehicle.
So Voltron?
That looks like, no, because it's not individual parts. Like, you can't come apart. And it's just, it's like, look, it's a giant dog's mech. Like, the ears are guns.
So you're telling me it's like the Megazord without them getting to become cool dinosaurs?
Yeah.
Oh, but crappy.
Okay, you're looking too much at the concept. Think about actually playing it. He'd be like someone would man the different weapons. Someone would be in charge of, like, repairing it. You're in, like, a post-apocalyptic
world. Robbie, do you remember Quap?
No.
Do you remember that game where all you had to do was walk, but you all had to control like four different parts of your body with Q, W, E, and R?
It was
impossible, and now it just made you mad when you fell in the first second.
But this is with robots.
Right. So I get to pilot a sweet big robot for 3 seconds before I fall down.
No, because you're not like piloting individual parts of it. That would just be dumb, Joe. This is why you're not a game developer and why you probably flunked out of college.
Damn.
So, okay.
So what would it be then? Whoa, I don't know what happened there.
It's the
imagine like
the airship game where you all had to like pilot, do different things where you're pilot. Like one person had to fly, one person had to repair, one person had to gun.
Yeah. So look, it's like
that game.
Like if we were to play it, you would be driving the dog, okay? Norris would be on weapons. We would have what are you laughing? Stop. This is serious discussion.
You would have to be driving the dog.
Would it be possible to unlock like a supersonic bark or something, like
maybe what?
Okay,
that see, I just thought I looked shit at that and I thought it was stupid, but I thought it was gonna be like Steel Battalion, which was, you know, the joint that had like 108 buttons and like sat you like with a little Gundam controller.
Okay, that sounds just ridiculous enough for Cliffy B to be interested.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
that's what I originally thought, but no, it is substantially worse.
Yeah,
look, obviously, I'm gonna give you that the name Dog Walkers is pretty terrible. Okay?
Well, I mean, that could have been like the development name.
Yeah, that's
like
a working title. Yeah,
that could have been like Blue Harvest. What a stupid name for a movie.
Yeah.
Oh, no,
that was the working title for Star Wars?
No, yeah. No. It's, right? It's just that...
Right? Yes,
that's
okay,
correct.
Okay. Dog Walkers wasn't the working title. They actually had to a different title prior to that. Dog Walkers was what they settled on. Because
wait, they said something else was stupid and went with Dog Walkers? What did they say was stupid?
Well, it's because dog actually stood for something. Like it was
an acronym.
It was an acronym. Yeah. For what they actually were.
Oh, for Christ's sake, this is dumber than Street Sharks.
Okay,
Jawsome.
All right, first of all,
no Street Sharks. Landed.
First of all, thank you. Street Sharks was the shit,
was awesome.
And I will fight you over that.
Uh huh.
I'm trying to find the tweet where he talks more about Dog Walkers.
I want to know what dog stood for. Now I'm actually curious.
Come on, buddy.
Do you want to take a guess?
Oh. Yeah, you know what? Let's do that.
What would dog stand for? Here.
Dumb obfuscated gorilla.
I mean, I'm gonna at least try domestic operations group.
Domestic operations group. That's better.
I'm actually kind of impressed by that.
Why can't I find him on Twitter? Did he delete his Twitter after all of that? I mean,
I
wouldn't have
Cliff. Are you
him.
Okay, Cliff?
I don't think he's.
Has
okay
anyone
at
heard
all.
From
no.
Cliff?
Now I feel really bad about doing this segment.
How's it going, bros? No.
All right. We're gonna check up on Cliff.
Yeah, we need to check.
All right,
up
here
on
we go the, at the real Cliffy B.
He's okay. Fun. He's okay. Good. All right. Okay. Cool.
Okay. When was his last tweet?
2 days ago. Oh, I'm sorry. No, 9 minutes ago, where he said maybe I should start a sex cult.
It's made the whole segment worth it. God. It's made the whole thing worth it.
Oh my god.
Cliffy B.
Okay, here we go. Here we go.
Cliffy B truly does get the last laugh.
All right, so Dog Walkers was codenamed Rover.
Oh, God.
But was shaping up to be Dog Walkers. Dog stood for Destructive Ordnance on the Ground. It makes sense now, okay?
It's still dumb.
It's terrible.
Mine was better.
I can't believe no one bought this.
Yeah, I can't either.
I was going to guess Dildo's Operation Group.
See?
Yeah.
See?
Apparently, this was like a big collaboration. He said these ideas are not purely my own. He lists off a bunch of other people. So this is like
Wait a minute. So he says, "Hey, here are some ideas that are clearly never going to be coming out." Mm-hmm. And oh, by the way, these are the people who are also involved in this.
Hold on. Like, he also says the plan was to learn from the mistakes of Scalebound.
Oh, that didn't
work. All right, well, here's the thing. He's not allowed to say anymore that Epic was poaching his employees. His employees saw what was on the dock and said,
yeah, hell no, bro.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. That's tough.
I love you, Cliff, and I wish you the best in whatever you do next.
You guys want to know what the budget for Dragonflies was? Mm. $40
million. Shut the fuck
up. Is that the development budget or development and marketing, I wonder?
Side note, $40 million budget, so not cheap.
Oh my, yeah, now, never mind, now I see why no one picked it up. It wasn't that no one wanted the idea, just that no one said $40 million, sure.
Right.
That's not a $40 million idea.
Idea, right.
Yeah. You know what that would function well as? An indie game.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Listen, Cliff.
Devolver can make that a good game.
Cliff, if you ever end up hearing this for whatever weird happenstance that happens in the universe.
He's
going to
confront the hell out of us at E3.
I just want to. No, he's not going to be at E3. He just retired.
He might still go.
He's going to go.
Maybe he will. But I will say this.
Swing on Robbie. It was his idea, is what I'm saying.
I love the idea of Dragonflies. You're the one shitting on his games.
Keep that sense of humor up, seriously, because I really do admire Cliff from a developer standpoint. Of course, he helped with forming Unreal Tournament, mm-hmm. as well as going on to work on Gears of War. Clearly, the dude's got talent, and
his fingerprints is on the game.
I'm hoping that if he takes a bit of time to himself to take some time off, because he's been grinding for a long time. I mean, he's been making games for a really, really long time.
And that's why I said, like, the gaming has his fingerprints on him. There's a few people, 20, 25 people, you could say definitely have left indelible marks on gaming.
Yeah,
he's definitely one of them.
He's definitely one of them.
People will know who you are. And yeah, like you say, take some time and figure out what it is you want to do next.
Partially for his work and partially for his personality, too, because I can remember the days mm-hmm. back on G4 TV. when he was a frequent guest, and he was always entertaining when they would have him on. So, you know, I do respect the guy quite a bit. And
if it sounds like we're being mean, it's all in good fun.
It is all in good fun. Yeah, exactly. So hopefully, you know, he can also laugh at our mean spirited jokes.
Hey,
so
if he doesn't like it, he can send us an email saying exactly what he thinks about us, and we'll read it on the show.
Yeah.
He can do. He can do. He can do.
I would read that.
He can get. He can do a whole podcast dedicated to why we suck.
we'll turn the podcast.
Awesome.
We'll turn the show over to him and let him do an episode of the Checkpoint Radio podcast and have him explain why we are terrible.
Cliff, you're welcome on anytime, man.
Yeah,
I'd love to have you.
All right. Is that it? Or are
those
there,
were the only three that he gave us. Maybe in the coming days we'll
get more.
There
are no more terrible ideas in the vault.
You know what? Fuck you. Dragonflies would have been amazing.
No. It's Panzer Dragoon, Robbie.
It is.
They've done that already.
Yeah.
He would have done it better.
What is your belief? Like, what makes you think that? Based on Lawbreakers and Radical Heights,
okay.
What makes you think that he'd have done it better?
Those were not bad games. They just came at the wrong time.
Right, and they didn't do it better.
Right.
No, Lawbreakers was pretty cool.
Better than Overwatch. Shut the fuck up.
If he was trying to learn from the failure of Scalebound, was he involved in the development of Scalebound? Was that a boss key game?
I don't think so.
I didn't think it was.
So wasn't that Platinum?
I thought it was Platinum, right?
Yeah, Platinum
because
games. I was super pissed off because they made Bayonetta, and I love everything they touch.
Yeah,
even though all they've made is Bayonetta.
What lessons is he going to learn?
It was Platinum Games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What lessons is he intending on learning?
He's a man of the world.
Robbie, did you just say something immensely stupid? You just said all Platinum made was Bayonetta? They just made Nier Automata.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
I thought that was Square Enix property.
I think Square's the publisher.
Square's the publisher. Yeah. Oh, all right. My bad. They also made
Metal Gear Revengeance.
Right.
Really?
Yeah.
I love Platinum.
Platinum's made a cadre of good
games. I can't wait for Bayonetta 3.
What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Right?
Bayonetta 2 was just okay, but Bayonetta 3, I think,
I'm
be
glad
good.
You called that out, Norris,
fair enough.
I didn't even hear it.
Correct. Correction made.
Bro, you got to back off now.
All right.
Backing off now.
So, the boss key shutting down, unfortunate, but hopefully that talent won't be able to find... find their feet and find new homes somewhere in the video game industry. Who was it that posted a hire? Blizzard.
Yes, Blizzard retweeted his letter to people, and he then basically expressed their condolences and was like, "Are you looking for work?"
Now, Cliff, that's poaching.
Yeah,
nah,
that's
not really. Not really. I guess not anymore.
They're back on the market, if you will.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right, we got to review what was happening this week on the radio show. We started off talking about esports betting. We were joined by esports lawyer Ryan Fairchild,
friend of the show.
Yes, and getting the lowdown on exactly what we can expect with the Supreme Court lifting the federal ban on sports gambling and what kind of impact that could see for esports moving forward. And I thought he really brought an interesting perspective to the table, saying that, you know, this could really end up making a fairly large industry out of esports gambling.
And one of the things that we didn't get to ask or touch on that I think we all fall in the category of is, you know, millennials are one of the groups that doesn't really do a whole lot of gambling.
No,
right?
Casinos are petrified because our generation does not gamble.
Exactly. Right. But we're
mainly because we're poor.
Well, of course. But we are all, I think, pretty invested in esports to some degree as well.
In video games.
There you go. Sure.
Yeah.
I know that despite still being super poor, that if I was offered the chance to perhaps bet on some Overwatch games,
I would not do it. I wouldn't do it.
I probably would.
Don't do it.
Don't do it.
You don't have the money to do it.
I know I don't.
When we were out in Vegas, you know, I had an opportunity to do some sports gambling because it's not something, you know, we have casinos here in Detroit,
right.
But you cannot, there's no sports book, you can't do anything like that. So while I was out there, you know, Michigan's playing in the NCAA tournament, might as well lay down a few bets.
And they went all the way to the finals, didn't they?
Final four? Yeah.
Did they get knocked out? Finals, yeah.
They went all the way to the very end. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
So you won a little bit of money there.
I was quite pleased with my take, yes.
Nice.
It was very good.
Were the odds in your favor?
On two of the games, yes.
Nice.
That I bet on.
What?
What I was just doing the Hunger Games thing because you said were the odds in his favor.
Oh, my God.
On the podcast. Great,
Boo.
Norris.
Norris.
But yeah, no. So I would be very excited to, you know, if you know, it's coming up to be about Worlds time, and I know I'm going to get great odds. I'm betting on North America because they ain't going to get very good odds. So yeah, if they want to offer me, you know, 20-1 on, you know, TSM or Team Liquid to show up at Worlds, throw down $30 on that, try and get a few hundred bucks back out of it.
Yeah, I think that this definitely opens up a lot of interesting possibilities moving forward. You're absolutely right, Robbie. Millennials not known for gambling that often, but I do think that this is an interesting hook into possibly getting more people into casinos. Mm-hmm. So we'll have to see how that ends up evolving. I don't know
and which states are going to do it, because I'm like already,
yes,
Michigan,
that's true.
Michigan's already put up a bill to legalize sports gambling. We have tons of casinos.
Yeah, we've got several high-profile casinos, so that makes a lot of sense.
DraftKings, interestingly, the day of the announcement, also announced that they're going to be adding sports gambling onto their app.
Well,
what
then.
A shock.
Huh.
I wonder if they had some inside information, or I like to think, in case of SCOTUS ban removal, break glass.
Yeah, right. So, yeah, I think that this is definitely going to end up making a very interesting scene. I do have some reservations about, you know, preserving the integrity mm-hmm. of the game.
Of course, yeah.
You can hear all of those concerns if you listen to this week's radio show.
Oh, wow, what a plug.
I know, right? We also talk about the latest in esports news, including, you know, kind of to go along with the betting issue, Counter-Strike Global Offensive adding a conflict of interest rule for their major tournaments.
Right, exactly. So Valve saying that if you are owned, you can't play anyone in a major who you have a vested financial interest in.
Right.
And the tricky part about that is frequently, even if you are in a tournament with another, you know, team that is owned by the same company, we don't actually care. Like, I don't know, like, if Astralis and Heroic are both in a tournament, they're both owned by Refresh. Does Astralis actually care about, like, Heroic? Like, just because you're owned by the same company?
But the thing is it's not so much about that. It's this happened because usually one of those teams will never be as good as the other team.
And it's right. The optics of it.
Yeah.
That's the problem. Is even if you're on Astralis, and maybe you've never even met the people on Heroic. You don't know them. You don't care. Sure, you know you're owned by the same parent company, but who cares? They're still your opponents. But anyone viewing from the outside, if Heroic is playing great, and then they get to Astralis and they get dumpstered by Astralis, there's no way you're going to be able to convince fans. The question will be asked, like, did they throw?
Yeah. No, I so I think for, you know, a tournament scene to get out in front of something like this, I think is really smart. They've got to do something like this. I think that this should be kind of standard across the board.
I would like to see this in basically every major esport at this point. Like, I get it why maybe in, like, the FGC we're not there yet.
Right, because you're
still
talking,
very small
you're
grassroots.
Talking about, yeah, about, well, and you're talking about individuals competing up against one another, too.
Well,
and,
but then again, Red Bull owns a league team. They own a Dota team. I mean, what's to say? And they own, like, five soccer teams. What's to say if they don't, you know, go in and have two, you know, teams go to Worlds,
well, or the reason, or collusion to get one of them to Worlds, you know?
And the reason you might not see it in, like, the NALCS or the OWL is because you'll already have conflicts of interest removed by who they select to allow into the league.
That's true. Right.
They'll prevent it from happening at that point.
Yeah, right. Yeah, no. But I think, you know, in scenes where you don't have that kind of oversight,
right,
you definitely need something, some kind of mechanism to step in case, I mean, you know, odds are not in your favor of if you're in a bracket meeting a team that is also owned by the same parent company, right? Like, it is very unlikely to happen, but it's never... No, it's not never going to happen, right?
Like, but it would be more possible in things like PUBG, where you're playing with lots of other teams.
You know what? Very good point.
Mm. That is something they will have to suss out.
Absolutely.
Oh, wow. I think more than anything else, yeah, imagine seeing the other team that's also owned and knowing backstage they told you see them, don't you take no shots.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Mm. Wow. Well, how would you know? How would you know who you're shooting at?
That's right, because you don't.
You don't.
No names, no nothing.
That's true.
Oh.
Yeah.
Huh.
Actually, maybe it would work there. Although, no, because then you could say, like, hey, when we drop, we're dropping near such and such.
That's
this is where we'll be dropping.
We'll drop just north of Erringal, just north of...
If you really wanted to collude, yeah.
Yeah, we're going to be dropping near Pachinki. You guys drop, you know...
Not near Pachinki.
Not near Pachinki.
Hmm. Yeah, there. I mean, there definitely is some concerns that they would have to work out, but
yeah,
definitely a consideration to put out there. We also talk about the botched Hearthstone tournament. We had Chris Gutsy, our former fill-in for Norris, come
our
in.
Our resident card game expert.
Yes,
self-proclaimed. There you go.
Card game expert.
I don't like that we have a card game expert.
Really, just the only one of us that gives a shit about card games
right.
at all.
Yeah.
So we had to ask him why this was important.
You know what I realized? I feel like Blizzard is essentially, when it comes to Hearthstone, they're kind of pulling a Nintendo, aren't they?
In a way. I mean, in
a Blizzard fashion.
I see why
though.
You make that yeah. parallel, but even this small little bit of support is more support than Nintendo gave to Smash.
It still blows my mind that you could get away with the excuse that, okay, you know, sorry, but you were using this computer, which wasn't provided by Blizzard at a Blizzard event, so it's just going to stay on the record.
See, that's the issue I have. Not so much that, you know, he had to get a Blizzard, you know, specific machine, right? First of all, that should have already been figured out. But even if he doesn't get one, you don't end somebody's tournament
on a game five botch, right?
This isn't round one.
Dude, you wouldn't even have to restage that much, right? Like,
right. This isn't like, you know, the first day where, you know, it's 1,000 people there and we're just trying to see who's eventually going to make it to the bracket. This is bracket playoff matches and it's game five.
Yeah.
First of all, no one wants the game to end that way. Although I can't help but think that had maybe his opponent said, no, we'll do a do over. Maybe he didn't take that option.
I think that's the only way they could do it, because I don't think that they have as many things in place for Hearthstone.
There are bylaws for how it works. If you're gone for a certain period of time, you just, the pause kicks off and you just pick up. If it's longer than that, you're assigned a game loss. And if it's longer than that, you're assigned a match loss.
Okay, so they do actually have a way to straight up pause the game then.
Yeah.
Then that should have, if his computer's not working straight up, that's what should have happened.
Absolutely. It's an absolute. But the whole reason, you know, normally that would be a news story in esports news.
Yeah.
But I thought it really painted the picture of what happens when you have something like Overwatch League versus what you have when you have something like the Hearthstone Championship Tour, where if your company, I'm done with companies half-assing it.
Oh,
I'm not watching these little.
Whole ass or nothing.
Whole ass. Exactly. I want to see the whole ass. I'll watch NALCS. I'll watch OWL when PUBG League, when the first official tournament from PUBG Corp, when that kicks off in July, I'll watch the hell out of that.
Sure.
But, man, I don't want to watch these little grassroots, even if that's where it started. There's an element of the great grassroots feel.
Yeah.
I don't know that I want to watch that
anymore.
Why
do you want to watch a card game?
That's fair. I think you're hitting on something really interesting, is that at what point is our tastes going to be pushed, like our
standard, too refined,
our minimal acceptable standard? When is that going to push above what your average person trying to present a tournament is able to produce?
I think it's there.
I think
if I'm honest, it was there the moment I watched the first game of Overwatch League.
Honestly, that's so.
But that's
such a high bar.
It's a high bar.
I'm not saying that's like what the bar, like it has to be at least that good. But that raised my floor. Right? You know what I mean? Like after watching that, I had a new standard for what was acceptable at the minimum. It wasn't necessarily the LCS, for so long, the NALCS was the standout, right?
Dota's having like fucking hologram
sets. Oh my god, right? Like, but I didn't watch Dota.
Like, that even seems ridiculous. Like, I think like Blizzard watched the International and was like, yeah, that's a little bit much. Like,
we're gonna have to tone it down from that.
Like the past few years at something like EVO, where the presentation was just so much better. They had the big, huge stage, so people pop off. They run around on the stage all over the place. Even that let me think, like, wow, this is a long way from these guys playing on risers in the middle of an empty fucking ballroom in a hotel.
Yeah. That was the scene.
Yeah,
for a long time.
So when I saw that, I think that is when I realized, oh, this could be taken to a whole other level. And down here is no longer
so
acceptable.
How do you get esports startups then? Like, if someone who's fumbling through this for their very, very first time, like, where, what kind of slack do you cut those kinds of people?
I think we're past that point. I think once we get to the point where these big standards are being hit, it does unfortunately make the grassroots things harder to get off the ground.
So
their next option is basically getting people to fund them at the level they need to compete.
Robbie hit the nail on the head, and that's where I was going to go, because at this point, if you don't have some sort of you know, corporate sponsorship, or if you don't have a whole bunch of money, then, you know, a nest egg that you already coming into the game with, or run into some angel investors at some point, like, at this point, there's almost no way to get a solid league, a grassroots league, off the ground outside of stuff that's individual based sports. And I honestly think at this point Hearthstone might be better suited for Blizzard to just say, you know what, guys, just you guys take it over, and
well,
we're going to focus on
it. Either pick it up and go, you know, all the way with it, or
let the community
or don't.
Handle it. Yeah.
I don't like it being half-assed.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess that's fair. I don't know. I guess I feel for the DIY aspect of esports, because, again, that is where this whole thing started. And I think to lose out on that aspect, or to say that's not good enough, I think that's really hard for me as a fan to even accept.
I agree, but at the same time, when I look at, like, botches and shit like this happen, like, that's unacceptable.
No, but think about it this way, Nate.
I mean, between that and that Total War, or what is it?
No,
For Honor.
For Honor.
Jesus,
that shit's unacceptable.
Yeah,
I'm not just putting
it
about that. But
you're absolutely right. No, it is shit like this that does make a kind of indelible black mark on esports.
But just think about it like this, Nate. When you think about professional sports, any type of professional sport.
Sure.
You are very rarely watching the lower level of that professional sport. You're very rarely watching the IHL when it was around. You weren't watching AAA.
Clearly,
and
no
AA.
One was watching the IHL, because
right,
the IHL's gone.
That's what I'm saying. You weren't watching AAA and AA baseball.
Hang on. But was that because I didn't have an exposure point to it? Because in order to be able to watch those things, I would have had to very purposefully seek them out. I would have had to have either a satellite television provider that had extended packages, or I would have had to pay, what is it, like $150 to my cable provider to get every single
sports
cable
channel. Yeah.
Right? So I wouldn't have had the regular exposure that I do to something like Twitch. Twitch is something you can go and you can watch a channel that has three people watching it, right? So
The Wham Network.
Exactly. So, but the
he said three.
But the ability to be a DIY startup as a concept definitely exists in Twitch far more than it does in this kind of pre-internet.
We're not talking about big TV packages, we're not talking about advertisement on that scale and all that stuff, but at the same time, my point is that when you have the best of the best in a particular league, yes, that's where the resources are going to go to, and that's the trend that we already see. We see where the investment dollars are going, we hear what the buy-in numbers for stuff like OWL is. That's not going to do anything but make the viewing experience for OWL even better. So, you know, I understand what you're saying. I don't think that'll be lost because of the Twitch element. I don't think it'll disappear totally. But at the same time, I think this is the new paradigm.
Well, but I mean, I think it's just concerning to hear the disinterest in an active esport fan's voice to go, if it's not, you know, if they don't have camera angles and, like, if it's not a good presentation, I don't really want to see it. And I feel for that. I end up watching a lot of shitty esports presentations, whether it's, you know, your Pokemon regionals or I like following it from that kind of level onto, you know, the more professionally produced stuff.
So you're a college basketball guy.
A little bit, yeah. I like that aspect. Yeah. I like the more DIY aspect. The FGC, you experience that a lot more in the FGC than you do necessarily team esports.
Oh, yeah. And it is charming.
It is
charming.
It is, especially when it goes really well and you go, oh man, these guys have
kind of
got
event.
Something.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I would hate for that floor, as you called it, Joe, to rise too much to where, you know, people are instantly turned off or won't even give an iota of a chance to something that is a more DIY product because it has to be, because it's still very primordial, mm-hmm. you know, that kind of thing. So we also talk this week about the 20 best villains in video gaming.
I guess you guys did pretty well with that list. That was a tough list. That was not easy.
You had sold this to us as a pretty tough list that you didn't think we would get as much as we did, maybe. So you think that we did pretty well?
I thought you did good. I think you guys ended up getting, what, 9 to 10 of them, almost half of them.
About half, yeah.
Yeah, so I thought, yeah, that was pretty good. Before we did the list, whenever we do one of these, I always try to do my own, like, top 10 list to see if I... Because if I get 0 out of 20, well, we need to refocus on how we're going to do this segment, right?
Sure, yeah.
So I went and did it, and I
either
only got...
Either that or that it's the worst list ever made.
Exactly, yeah. The list sucks, exactly. And I think I only got, like, 5, and that was because I hit the classes. I hit Ganon, I hit Bowser, and I hit Dr. Robotnik, and I happened to hit GLaDOS because she's my favorite villain. So, like, I hit a few, but... Overall, when I start going through that list, I'm like, first of all, dysentery. No one's going to guess dysentery,
brilliant.
But it's funny as hell,
that's
and
brilliant.
I love
that's
that it's
a
on
laugh
there.
Line, yeah.
So,
I like it.
Yeah, no, it was good.
We also talk about the latest in gaming news, as well as Sony's roadmap for E3.
Ooh, I was saying,
someone had kind of made an offhand comment about if Sony's not doing a big showcase. Is Sony? Did they say they're not doing a big showcase?
Norris said that. I'm pretty sure they're still doing a big showcase. No, they're not doing what you think of. Like when you think of Microsoft, who does 27 games last year.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Just kind of like that big, huge, extended showcase where we're talking about 10 to 15.
I mean, they're still going to have a stage presentation.
Yes.
Right?
No,
yeah, but they're going to have a stage presentation.
The difference between Microsoft and Sony and the way they do it has always been, like, to me, vastly different. Because, I remember seeing, like, a Kotaku article where it's like, these are all of the titles that are actually exclusive to Microsoft, because they did, like, what, 20 or 30 of them, like you said. Mm-hmm. Whereas Sony, like, what they give you is, like, a very finely curated, like, sizzle reel of all their games. And it usually is, what, maybe, like, 10-ish or whatnot, like, total?
Yeah.
But they're really good looks at what you're getting.
I'm going to be interested to see what Sony brings this year, because I was not impressed by their showcase last year.
Remember, it was just repeats, basically.
That was their weakest showcase probably in the past 4 or 5 years.
It was. So I'm going to be interested to see what they're going to be bringing to the table. Now, I mean, we've gotten confirmed no hardware announcement.
Which I'm actually happy about.
Me too.
Yeah,
PS5, as a radio host,
yeah,
I would have loved a PS5 announcement, because we've basically got our talking points set for, like, the next few shows.
Sure.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
But as a gamer, no, I'm kind of happy we have another year to wait.
Yeah, me too. So we also talk about the idea of virtual viewing rooms.
It's stupid.
Now, hold on, because you guys kind of confused me a little bit, like, after the segment was over and I was thinking about it, because early, at the beginning, you were shitting on it pretty heavy, right? But then at the end, you're like, as long as it's not Second Life doing it, so, like... Is it the concept like?
It's because Linden Labs could never broker a deal strong enough with another developer to make this the feature what it needs to be attract people to it.
The clarification is the caveat for us was your level of interactivity with what you're actually watching, right? Yeah.
So the concept, you like the concept, you just don't want the Second Life people doing it.
No. It doesn't matter if it's Second Life.
Even conceptually, because for what it is, it sounds like you sit in a movie theater.
Yeah.
And
it
watch,
sounds like
and
the,
watch it.
Oh my gosh. You sound exactly like the dude at my work who goes, you just watch people play games? That sounds dumb.
It sounds dumb to put on a game headset to enter a virtual reality realm to then do nothing but watch a game that you could watch on a screen.
Yeah.
Like, it's a whole extra step that makes no sense and adds no value.
Yeah.
Because if that was the case, enter a Discord server, same effect, exact same thing. You're with a whole bunch of people, y'all all talking like y'all know what you're talking about, nobody knows what the fuck they talking about, and you're sitting here all looking at the same information on the same screen.
Open a Twitch chat, Second Life, and Discord, you've got the same
thing.
Then why is VR chat so popular?
Why is VR chat popular? Because of racist memes and stupid jackasses. That's why.
Pretty easy. it's pretty.
No one, dude, no one genuinely liked VR chat. They thought it was hilarious that you could put anything you want in there and make it an avatar. And then they made the dumbest shit possible.
He's not wrong.
No, he's not. He's not.
He's not wrong. It was an ironic enjoyment of VR chat, if anything.
Yeah.
Until Do You Know DeWay killed the whole fucking thing and nobody gives a shit anymore.
Yeah.
Because all you get is Knuckles running up to you going, it's fucking dumb.
It's dumb.
So if VR chat is your defense on why this might be cool, go fuck yourself.
I look at something like this and I see, like, again, I see the beginning of something. This is where it would start. It would need to be something way better than this before you're going to have, like, huge mass adoption of it. But this is where it would have to start. Before we could ever have something like a movie where, you know, we get to more enter into the experience of the movie, you have the dumb little Netflix app where you sit in, like, the log cabin and that's watching on TV.
And that's
where
we're at.
We're on stage
that's
one.
The first thing that I thought of, and that was stupid.
And that's fine. But you don't get Linden Labs to do it.
Yeah. I completely agree.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like I would defend this from the point of it would have to start
of
somewhere.
Innovation.
And it's an idea of, hey, we can see where traditional sports is struggling, and let's at least make an attempt to not go down that same road.
Skuro has said something stupid in our chat room. That's
okay.
Virtual hangouts are blowing up right now. And again, it's like this ironic enjoyment. There are two factions of people that enjoy VR environments, and it's these kind of like, I don't even know what to call them, but like these people who are kind of obsessed with the next wave of technology, whatever, those people. And then there's second faction of people.
Let's call them Dylans.
Dylan. And then there's the second faction of people that are there to ruin the experience for the Dylans. Okay, that's it. Those are the only two types of
people. We'll call
them Marks. Fine. Mark's a dick. Okay, that's all you need
really
to know.
Specific,
Mark's a dick and wants to ruin the experience for Dylan. Okay,
yeah.
Those are the only two types of people that you run into, period.
I just want to see how many emails I can get from Marks and Dylans.
Oh, all right, fair.
All right,
just curious. All right, let's move on.
We also talk about what do you need to see at E3 this year? Like, what's going to be an indication for how the gaming industry is going to be moving forward through the next year? I definitely am interested to see kind of on a macro scale where everyone's announcement ends up being. It's always kind of a fun game to figure out who kind of won in the keynote speeches.
Oh yeah, to play. Yeah, it was basically see who had the biggest dick.
Yeah,
well, and not just that, but
who laid it on the table hardest.
So I also like, and Nate, you brought it up in the show, and I really start thinking about it. It's like the market trends and stuff. You know, not just for the price of stuff, but starting to see like design trends, marketing trends, hardware trends. I mean, what was it? The year PlayStation Move came out.
Yeah,
and it was like 3 years of, you know, motion control and, you know,
dancing games.
Games and stuff like that. Oh. And so, you know, I'm interested to see if this starts any trends or if it kills any.
It's hard for me because I don't get like hype up for games like I used to. Like, it's very seldom that I will be so intrigued by a game that I'm like, I'm buying it day one. I don't feel that for games anymore.
I don't get it. Yeah.
But not just because you're old, but do you know what that is? Because more games are being announced and dropped throughout the year. It used to be E3. That's the only time you heard
that
about when
true.
Everything
that's
came
very,
out.
That's very, very true.
But for me, what does still get me excited is esports today.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what that is my need at E3 this year. I need the esports presentation to be bigger, better, and more interesting than it was last year. Because it was there last year, but it was not big or interesting.
It looked like an afterthought, to be honest.
It did.
I'm also really interested to see what the PC gaming showcase is going to look like last year. Outside of Devolver Digital, I thought that they brought the most interesting and comprehensive presentation out of all of them. So I'm going to be definitely interested to see what's in the cards this year.
I like the PC presentation too, because they didn't really try to be anything else.
Yeah.
There were some moments where, they geeked out and made a couple jokes about some franchises, but there are moments where they had really big nerd moments about hardware.
Yeah.
And it was like, That's what I expect out of the PC gang.
Here's my
presentation.
My big worry, and I meant to say this on the show, was that we're gonna get the ironic detachment attempt from out of the PC gaming showcase, and that, I don't want that.
No,
they were on the right track last year. Keep going in that direction. Don't try to be Devolver. Well, let Devolver do their thing.
I feel like historically, except for last year, PC gaming shows used to focus like almost entirely on hardware type stuff. So I was always real tuned out. And that's why when we watched it last year, like a super surprise, pleasantly so, that they dove into a whole bunch of different stuff. And it was actually probably one of my one of my more favorite ones.
They did with XCOM, like the presentation.
Right.
Really good. I've never had a desire to play that game. And for a split second, I was like,
maybe
I might pick that up.
I could see myself playing. Nah, yeah. Never mind.
And then I was like,
Dragon Ball FighterZ is over here.
Dragon Ball. Ball.
I am so excited to be going out to E3 again this year and reporting to all of you guys for Checkpoint. It's going to be such a difference from last year's coverage we have been,
we've been prepping for months.
I'm sorry, I can't say we.
Kuki's been prepping for months.
Kuki, our super producer, Kuki, Christine, whatever you want to call her.
I told you guys to thank her.
She has been on the ball for scheduling all of these awesome interviews and demos. So we are super excited about what we're going to be able to present out at E3. Not entirely sure if there's going to be like a live stream. We're not going to promise that. We are going to promise a show because we were able to do that last year. So we're definitely going to be able to produce a show for you this year, but we'll have more information as to what our definite plans are for out at E3. But you guys should be ready for quite a show. So that's it. That's all that we were talking about this week on the radio show. Make sure to check that out on demand Tuesdays at our website over at checkpointradio.com or on the Mixcloud app. You can just search Checkpoint Radio on Mixcloud. That's going to be it for this week for the Checkpoint Radio podcast. Checkpointradio.com is where you can find out more info about the show, as well as full episodes on demand, like I had just mentioned, posted every Tuesday, interviews from past episodes, and much more. That's all over at CheckpointRadio.com. Stay up to date on all the latest by following us on social media. That's CheckPT Radio on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And if you like the show, consider dropping by our Apple Podcast feed and giving us a rating and a review. We'll read your review here on the podcast. Checkpoint Radio is a production of Westwood One from the Westwood One Podcast Network. Everyone's listening. Our theme is provided by the band Weird At Last. Big thanks to our producers, Rick Scott, Kevin Graham, and Christine Corpus. For the Checkpoint Radio crew, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan, I'm Nate Bender. Keep listening.
You've been listening to the Checkpoint Radio podcast. Make sure you subscribe to iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Also, tune into our weekly radio show. For more information and the latest on esports and gaming, go to CheckpointRadio.com.